we are welcomed by Hockey Hall of Famer, former NHL assistant coach, head coach, and now one of the top players in NHL history. According to one poll, I don't want to let his head swell too much. It's only one group of voters. Maybe the other voters won't have him in. I'm kidding. Adam Oates joins us. What number were you from 1 to 100? Were you guys backstage deciding who was number one through number 100?
I was probably 110, and 10 guys couldn't make it, so they called me.
Okay. How was the weekend? How was it rubbing shoulders with some of the greatest players to ever play the game?
You know what? It was fantastic. It really was. It was a great event. Jason, like, fantastic honor. It's just one of the things, you know, we went in a couple rooms where we're all together getting ready for the show and changing into the jackets, and you're sitting there just, like, pinching yourself. You know, I got Bobby Hull, my idol, Bobby Orr, Frank Mahovlich, Gretz, Mess. It's like, oh, my God, right? And it's like, you know, it's just fantastic.
Now, did you play in the celebrity game?
I did not.
You did not. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't. I was flying home. I went home on Saturday.
Oh, okay. So, but I'm assuming you saw Chris Pronger crush Bieber, and he was laughing, obviously, as he did it. I'm sure you've seen the picture making its rounds. Now, you know, Pronger is one of those personalities there that, you know, yeah, it's a celebrity game, but he would have a lot of fun giving it to a guy like Bieber.
I think so, and he meant it in good spirit,
yeah,
of course. Right?
100%.
But it's also a little bit of like this is what contact feels like, bud. You think you know what it is, but you don't.
Now, when you were in St. Louis, you were there with were you still there when Pronger got traded from Hartford, or were you gone to Boston already?
I was already gone.
Okay. So you never played with him. You always played against him on various things. What made him so good/dangerous?
You know, honestly, total package. Very smart player, big man, strong, defenseman, in your face full time. Could do it offensively and backed it up physically.
Adam Oates joins us. You know, this honor, obviously you mentioned it was huge for you to be there. And, you know, it's one of those things that, like, I guess when they get to 200 years or maybe 150, they'll have something similar. And, you know, you'd be a real elder statesman if it makes it to 150 years. So do you think that that's kind of going to be the last opportunity you've ever had to be around all those people?
I do. I really do. It's and we kind of talked about it at times.
And what did you discuss about it?
Sorry, I thought I lost you there. Sorry, I'm driving the car. You know what? Some of us talked about it, and it was just one of those things where it kind of puts it in a surreal moment, right? Like, you realize this might never happen again, definitely in our lifetime, and how special it is. And it just added to the honor, like how deep the honor really is.
Now, I know you told us last week or the week before how there was a year where you were, like, top 10 in NHL scoring and didn't get picked to go to the All-Star game, and it was in Boston where you were playing, and you were pretty upset about it. So even though you didn't play, did this make up for that at all?
It sure did. For sure, it sure did. And, you know what, it's one of those things where I'm sure there's a bunch of guys that they considered that could, you know, you could kind of put them in, and then it starts with everybody kind of questioning some guys. And, you know what, I'm just very honored to be considered and obviously very honored to be in it.
Now, if you had to vote, who would be your number one?
Poof, that's a tough question, man. You don't want to, you know what, there's different generations because Bobby Orr put our game on the map because that's when TV came into play for real and he was the best in the world. He was head and shoulders above it. You know, Gretz is my guy because that's who I idolize and wanted to be like. And he was winning the scoring by a ridiculous amount of points. A lot of people would say Mario, right? Because there's people who knew Mario thought he was absolutely fantastic. And it's just one of those things you really don't want to compare. You don't. You know, everybody, there's a lot of great ones.
That's a real fence sitting note. See, I'm saying Wayne Gretzky. I don't have a problem saying it. To me, and here's my reasoning why. Here's my reasoning why Bobby Orr to me isn't number one. Because in order to be the greatest of all time in a sport, you have to be elite for more than 6 years. And I understand that injuries were the reason, but unfortunately, we can all just guess what the rest would have been like. And that's the only reason why. Not the only reason, but it was one of the main reasons why. Like you, and even people want to compare peak eras. I was looking at stats and everything. I'm like, you take his best 6 years, and you put Gretzky's six best years. He was so much better than anyone else. It wasn't even close. That for me, like if there was anybody to compare Gretzky, I'd have Gordie Howe, because 20 years in a row to be a top five scorer in the league, that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. Although the league was way different then, and there was not as many players. Because of finances back then. I do agree. And that's why I don't like to compare. Longevity is something that you have to consider. I've been a big believer in that. To be consistent over a long period of time and deal with the physicality is a big thing. I think it is. But I don't want to diminish what the player or person was, right?
No, and I don't think being number two all time is diminishing a player. In my own opinion, I'm like, hey, that's great. It just unfortunately... You know what, due to injuries and a lot of other circumstances, hey, you couldn't do it. And, there's very few players who the league changed rules because of them. Right? Gretzky was so dominant at 4-on-4, they changed the rule.
And how good would Eric Lindros have been if he stayed healthy for 20 years?
Yeah, you definitely wonder, because he was a force, a big, strong guy. It wouldn't have been as good as Gretzky, but it'd been pretty good, for sure.
he was an absolute force.
Yeah, and he was unique, and I know because... He was skilled, but he could run you over and also dangle right around you.
Yep, he was a very unique specimen.
Injuries, and some people always said, well, the style he played a little bit to that because, you know, maybe he got away with it in junior, and then you get up against all the big, strong guys, and suddenly, you know, you can't have your head down as often.
Yeah, I think so. I've actually used that analogy with him where he was so big and strong in junior – and I watched him play some in junior in Oshawa where guys bounced off him. And if anything, it created a bad habit because it didn't bother him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you're right. He gets to the NHL, and unfortunately, there's some other big guys in the NHL too.
Adam Oates joins. Now, that leads me to, bad habits. And, you know, lately on Instagram, well, definitely in the offseason, there's lots of videos popping up of players, doing these unique drills. And, I see them, people send them to me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that looks pretty good. And then when I watch it a few more times, I'm like, yeah, but the guy's head's down the whole time he's doing the drill. So while that's fantastic, is that something that you should never even get into the habit of doing in the summer, is doing one of these crazy fun stick handling drills? But if your head's down, that's going to create a potential awkward position for a player to now suddenly gets on the ice and he's going to have his head down more often. Do you see a connection between the two?
Yeah, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I think you're right on. Why would you create a bad habit? Why would you practice a bad habit, reinforce a bad habit? The number one injury in our game is concussions. You have to have your head up at all times and have skills with your head up as much as possible. I hate it. And you know what's funny? I was talking to Steve Yzerman at the event, and I said, isn't it funny, out of these 100 guys, almost every guy had the same stick.
What did he say?
He agreed.
Yeah. Well, except Ovi's. His is kind of unique, right?
Yeah. No, I said almost everybody. Yeah. Although when Ovi came in the league, when he was a lot faster, he had a much straighter hockey stick.
So as he's gotten slower, so you think the curve has slowed him down, or that just you slow down because you get older?
No, I think the curve has slowed him down, and I think it's become what it's really done for him is kind of made him more power play specialist. And you know what? He's a 50-goal man, right? So, like, he can score from anywhere, and I think he kind of crept into that. I personally tried to encourage him to straighten it out a little bit to make him a little quicker as well. So you give up a little bit of your shot to get some of the other stuff. But his lie's perfect, and the length of his stick's perfect. I think his curve just got away from him. But if you look at the top 100, almost every guy has the same stick. I mean, there's some anomalies and some little variations, but almost everybody has the same stick.
Now,
because they got backhand.
Yeah, so how does a curve stick slow a guy down? And it's not like it makes him really slow. Like, let's clarify that. People are thinking, oh, geez, you're going to say a curve. But how does a curve stick potentially lead a player to slow down a bit?
Well, the bigger the curve, the less backhand you have. So now, when there's a situation where you have to go to your backhand, you won't be as efficient as you could be if you had a straighter stick. So that slows you down. Then you might not go at the correct angle at that puck if you had too much curve. You might want to favor your curve versus just reacting to the puck and make the best decision. So it can slow you down. And depending on lie, that slows you down as well. So that's why, you know, I'm a stick fanatic, and most half-wall guys have the same stick because they've grown up with forehand and backhand.
Adam Oates joins us, Hockey Hall of Famer, now voted one of the top 100 players of all time in NHL history. We are now after the All-Star break, and, you know, the Edmonton Oilers players came back today, and, you know, obviously a lot of excitement in that room. You know, most of those guys never been in this situation. It's been a long time. The city's pretty excited about it. They're tied for first with San Jose, coming off two really convincing victories on the West Coast. And having been through the league, you know, 20 years, Adam, you come out of the All-Star break. What is the one major change that happens now around the league? What becomes harder to do?
Well, normally you would say schedule, but this year the schedule has been ridiculous anyways because of the bye week and the World Cup, so you can't use that. Because now is when this games you get, you know, you would grind some more games into a short window, but everybody's been having that all year long. Right now you got to stay healthy as much as possible, try and keep your goalie fresh as much as possible. And refine your habits. I think with the Oilers, we talked about last week how their defense is much better, and that takes pressure off the goalie and helps the forwards, right? And now you got a way more balanced, cohesive group, and I think you're seeing the results of that. And I think they're going to get confidence from that.
Hmm. Well, it will definitely be an interesting final stretch run for the Oilers. And Adam, having been as a coach and then, of course, as a player for 20 years, people talk about all, you know, trade deadlines and how it can impact chemistry in a room. When you're a good team and you think you're going for a long run and your GM goes out and acquires a player who most guys knows better than what they have in the room, is it automatically received well or can it cause friction?
I don't think it causes friction. I think it might cause doubt. You know, the GM's making a move to try and get some depth, maybe pick up a little piece that he thinks might be missing. Maybe we're a little old in a certain position and we're trying to reinforce it. So hopefully if the team's going on all cylinders, it's not a major move. And hopefully he's not perceived that way. And a lot of times with those moves, we don't always get lucky. It doesn't necessarily pan out. Sometimes you were maybe playing well, then the GM feels you're a little flat, so he tries to do a bigger move to try and inject something into the line, almost create a little controversy within the lineup. And I think it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I always wonder about the chemistry factor, because to me, you would think on a team they would look, and all of a sudden you're bringing in a defenseman who's a top four defenseman, and you think we only have three of them. Well, this should, in theory, make our team better. It doesn't guarantee success because only one team ever wins the Stanley Cup. But I never felt like being worried about team chemistry would be the reason why you wouldn't want your GM to make a trade.
No, you have to worry about that for sure. You don't want to put a square peg in a round hole. And I'm sure they're all thinking of that at times. Nobody bats 1,000 with those decisions. But you are thinking of that. And you know what? And, you know, you're trying to feel the pulse of your team at that time, right?
Oltsy, congratulations again on being a top 100. Hopefully you took a lot of pictures on the weekend. Reminded yourself that you were there. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, it was a great time. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
You betcha. Adam Oates.